The Pirateville was beaten, but the street fighting went on. Damn pirates never knew when to quit. You might have admired that trait in a sec man, but in a pirate it was damned annoying.
Sir, look there! A skyscraper's on fire!
Standing awkwardly, Mitchum squinted toward the downtown area. From the middle of a glass skyscraper, black smoke was pouring from the broken windows of the fifth floor. Flashes of light appeared within the flames as something exploded. A lance of flame extended from a window, seeming to push out something metallic with lots of legs that promptly dropped from sight.
Found you. Time to get aced, traitor.
Turning, he limped toward the Hummers, checking the revolver in his new shoulder holster. The branding iron had cauterized the wounds closed, but the pain still slowed him like chains on a slave.
Everybody in the wags! The Outlanders die today!
Leaving the protocol building, the companions stayed alert as they headed across the plaza for their bikes. Halfway there, Ryan swung up the flamethrower, but withheld fire.
Droid!
The machine appeared from behind the towering DNA sculpture, but Ryan eased his hand off the trigger. He couldn't use the M1A. That had only burned their transport. The machine's long legs stepping high, the droid strode through the parked bike as his laser pulsed. Firing the Sig Sauer, Ryan felt a rush of heat past his face on the blind side as the rest of the companions separated and attacked.
Damn!
The M16 rapid fires shattering steadily, the noise punctuated by the telltale booms of the Weatherby, Hope, and Webley. The friends kept on the move, never giving the damn thing a stationary target. Incoming lead peppered the machine, and the laser started to pulse once more when the crystal lens was shattered by a 7.62mm tumbler. As the energy weapon winked out, the humans charged to finish the job at close range. Bullets tearing it apart, the damaged machine tried to run, to dodge, then climbed into the complex rigging of the DNA sculpture for protection. But once the droid was clear of the bikes, Ryan hosed the artwork with a chemstorm of flames. Ripping fire, circuits sparking, the droid still tried to escape, but as its onboard systems overheated and shut off, the machine fell from the sculpture and landed on the parked bikes. Pieces of fender and windshields flew into the air.
Good thing the machines are old and slow. We wouldn't stand a mutie's chance in a rad pit against a fully functional droid.
Maybe. Son of a bitch did this deliberately.
It's probably in its programming to destroy the enemy's transport as a last action.
Two still okay.
Jack righted a Harley. He pressed the ignition, and the engine purred to life.
This one's okay, too.
Okay, scab what you can. Pilot on the two. The rest of us walk from here.
Only a couple of blocks, but we better stay sharp.
Razor.
Jack climbed onto the motorcycle. After gathering what intact supplies they could and retrieving their backpacks, the companions started down the ancient boulevard, watching the alleyways and rooftops. Suddenly, Christy turned and fired. A small lizard sitting on a garbage can blew apart, the bloody gobbet smacking against a stone wall. A block later, Dean triggered the Weatherby, the corner window on a second floor shattering on both sides from the arrival of the Big Rain 460 caliber round. From somewhere inside the building came the chest-thumping roar of a gorilla.
Shit! Missed him!
Dean fumbled in his pockets for more ammo. Soon the search became more intense. The boy suddenly realized he'd lost count and was out of rounds for the long blaster. Scowling, he draped the weapon over his shoulder and pulled out his Browning high power, racking the slide to chamber a cartridge. Cradling the softly hissing flamethrower, Ryan made no comment as they approached the subway station, his every sense strained to the limit. Obviously a converted train station, the white brick building stood two stories tall, with an impressive face for the tourists. A row of slit windows skirted along the overhang of the red tile roof.
That'd make a good fort. Oh shit, 12 o'clock high!
The armorer stopped dead in his tracks to start firing the Uzi. Head swiveled, and there was the mutie spider crawling over the building. The beast paused on top of the roof to spread its mandibles wide.
Run for the door!
As the companions raced for the entrance to the station, the stream of burning fuel from Ryan's flamethrower shot across the plaza and descended in a fiery rain upon the creature, its stubbly hair instantly igniting. Keening in pain, the creature danced madly about, snapping at the fire on its back. Charging after the others, Ryan rejoined his friends at the station's entrance, JB already busy at the lock. Mildred and Jack had parked the bikes nose to nose and were stripping off the saddlebags. Dean and Christy were taking everything they could with them, while Doc stood guard. Putting his spine to the wall, Ryan started sweeping the flamethrower back and forth. He established a growing half-circle of flames on the plaza before them. Before he was done, the spider arrived and tried to cross the field of flames, but the heat forced it temporarily back. The mutant keened again and tried another section, only to be repulsed once more.
Open the bastard door!
The flamethrower's gauges were nearly empty, the pressure flickering and registering zero. One or two more sprays, and the M1A would be empty.
Can't, Ryan! Locked from the inside!
The armorer pressed on the door. It suddenly opened a crack, exposing the thick steel chains wrapped around the handles on the other side.
Blow the damn thing! Well, that's it for the M16. Prep the law.
No room! We're too close! The back blast would blow us apart!
Stepping close to the fire, Doc braced for a recoil and fired the M203. The short weapon sent a 40-millimeter shell straight into the arachnid's shoulder, the blast splattering out chunks of flesh, and a limb fell off. Staring at the ghastly wound pumping blood, the mutie backed away from the humans. Ryan sent off the final arc of flame, coating its head for as long as he could until the spray sputtered and cut off. Hitting the buckle on his chest, Ryan shrugged and the spent weapon dropped to the ground. Then he grabbed the harness and heaved it into the flames.
Cover!
A heartbeat later, the pressurized tank blew, sending out a death shroud of shrapnel. Hot steel zinged off the ground, slammed into the closed door, knocked over both bikes, and ripped a long gash across the spider's bulbous back, blood gushing in an emerald torrent.
What the hell?
Squinting against the dying flames, Ryan could see Hummers full of sec men rolling down a wide flight of stairs on the plaza, the 50 cals throwing death at the creature. Then a line of rounds stitched the front of the train station, shattering the pretty white bricks.
Mitchum!
Jack slapped a used clip into the M16. The nuke-shitting blasters would have lasted them for months in the Deathlands, but here, everything on these stinking islands was trying to chill them.
Let us welcome him properly. Any more 40-millimeter shells?
Only had six.
Ryan pulled a Gren's pin and threw it at the oncoming wags. The HE sphere hit the ground and bounced twice, going over the lead military wag. The windshield vanished, and the crew inside clutched their ripped faces. Without a driver, the wag veered away from the other vehicles. Cutting across the plaza, it slammed into a fountain and spilled out the corpses, its hood buckling.
Screw this!
Standing, JB swung around the shotgun and gave the door two strident rounds of flechettes. The wood blew apart, and the portal swung open on creaking hinges.
All right, let's go.
But the bikes!
Leave them.
Rushing inside the building, the companions spread out behind the rows of pillars supporting a mezzanine. Shafts of sunlight streamed in through the slit windows along the top, filling the interior with crisscrossing beams of light. Rows of wooden benches, badly consumed by beetles, filled the open area, phone booths and ticket counters lining the sidewall. At the far end was an iron grating, similar to the ones on the downtown stores, completely sealing off the stairs and turnstiles beyond.
There's the entrance!
Save your grins, people. We may have to blast through.
Watching through the doorway, they could see the horribly wounded spider attack the Hummers, slamming the nearest one onto its side. Supplies and men tumbled onto the ground, the spider triumphantly raising a screaming Norm in its mandibles and slowly closing the pincers, the hoary chitin slicing the victim in two. The body fell away, and the spider charged at the next military wag, tendrils of intestines dangling from its segmented mouth. Its thick legs stopped two more men flat, and Sergeant Campbell was lifted from a Hummer.
Fuck you! Oh, fuck!
The spider shook him the way a dog did a rat to snap its neck. It quickly cut him in two. His legs fell away, but his wide leather belt got caught on the mandibles, and his torso flopped loosely about until the beast shook it free. The plaza's concrete was becoming dark with spilled blood, most of it human.
Fire!
A Firebird was launched from the pod of Mitchum's WAG. Spiraling in fast, the rocket slammed deep inside.